do something a little bit different tonight. Probably make some of you mad tonight, but we're going to stretch a little bit. Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. New preacher changing everything up. I know. Everybody got your Bibles with you? Got them? Hold them up. Everybody hold them up. Put your other hand up now. Look up. And with the loudest voice you can possibly do, shout, amen. Ready? One, two, three. Yeah. Amen! All right, sit down. All right. Before we get started tonight, anybody got a word of testimony you'd like to share? Anybody have a word of testimony you'd like to share? Has the Lord answered a prayer for you? Go ahead, brother. Yeah, I got a green light. How about that? Exodus. Yeah. Can everybody hear me? I need to speak up a little bit. Turn up the volume? Can I do that here? Hey, brother, can you turn up the volume a little bit? All right, he's waving his hand at me. That means yes. Can everybody hear me now? Still can't hear me? Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. I told you we were going to talk tonight about a Baptist taboo. And there's several subjects throughout Scripture that a lot of people just don't like to talk about. And those are usually the ones that I like to dive in and get a hold of and talk about. I have been called a confrontational preacher before. And I like to get into things that nobody else wants to mess with because, oh, brother, we're not supposed to talk about that in church. Those are things that we're not supposed to be dealing with. I mean, you know, everybody doesn't need to hear that kind of stuff. But the Lord gave me this. This was a personal study that I did here about a week or two ago. And I happened to find out a lot of things that I didn't know when I started studying this. So we're going to look at it tonight, Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. This will be more or less just a Bible study here tonight. I'll try not to bore you with too many illustrations and preaching, okay? But we'll study the Bible a little bit tonight, and let's find out what God says about this subject before we go any further. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you again for this time. God, I'm grateful to be here, and I thank you for what you've done for me. I thank you for being good to me, and I ask that you'd bless our time that we've gathered here to worship and to talk about you. And I pray, Father, that your will would be done here. I pray, Father, that you'd open up our eyes, open up our hearts, open up our ears, that we might hear you speak tonight. Lord, it'll all be in vain unless the Holy One comes down and meets with us. If your Holy Spirit does not meet with us tonight, then we're going to go out of here having learned nothing and having been here in vain. And I pray, Father, that your word would be magnified above all other things here tonight, above every other name. And I pray that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would be lifted up as well. And we are grateful for salvation and thank you so much for what you've done. And we pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Tell you what, let's do. Switch gears here for just a second. Let's change gears and turn to the book of John. John chapter 8. I'll tell you what I'm going to do here. I'm going to change up on you. And we're going to look at something different here. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Okay, John chapter 8, verse number 42. We'll start reading in verse number 42. John chapter 8, verse number 42. John 8, 42 says, Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. The Lord Jesus is speaking to a certain group of people, and he says, you're from your father, the devil. Anybody ever hear somebody say that Jesus never said an unkind word to anybody? Anybody ever hear that? I've heard preachers go around the country and say, oh, Jesus was always kind with his speech, and he never said anything mean or out of the way. He was never hateful with his speech. He was always just trying to bless people. And what they do is they try to make him an ancient pope that goes around and says, God bless the little ones. Oh, God bless, God bless, God bless. And they have a messed up, a distorted view of who Jesus Christ really was. And let me say, number one, he was the Son of God. But let me say this, he was a man. Jesus Christ was a man. And he acted as a man. He was not feminine in any way, shape, form, or fashion. He was a man, and he acted like a man. Jesus stood before a group of people and looked at them and pointed his finger in their faces and said, you're serpents, you're a generation of vipers. He looked at them, he called them wicked people. He called them names. He named names. Here he says, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you're going to do. And he looked at him square in the face, and he squared off, and he stood up to him, much like street preaching. How many of you have ever been street preaching? Hey, sometimes that's hard to do. Sometimes that's hard to do. You have to kind of sacrifice your flesh, or not sacrifice, but you have to crucify the flesh and put it down in order to get the Lord's work done, okay? You have to stand in front of people that are confrontational, that don't want you there in the first place, and look at them and say, Jesus Christ died for you because you're a sinner and you're not going to make it to heaven. And you need Jesus Christ to get you to heaven. And that's kind of a confrontational thing to say to people. So it's kind of out of our element a little bit to deal with folks like that. But Jesus spoke that way a lot. Most of the ministry that Jesus Christ did was public ministry. He did most of his preaching on the street and talking to people and dealing with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the hypocrites. He called them hypocrites. Jesus was a man, and he dealt with people. And when he talks here, he says, verse number 47, he that is of God heareth God's words. They hear God's words. Amen? Amen. Listen, one of the characteristics of a lost or a carnal person is they refuse to listen to the words of God. That is a distinct characteristic of a lost or a carnal Christian, is the fact that they won't listen to the words of God whenever they're told to them. They reject those words. They refuse to listen to those words. Amen? Turn to John chapter 5 here. Back a few chapters. John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and listen to what Christ says here. John chapter 5, John chapter 5, verse number 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Jesus said, he that heareth my word, number one, and believeth on him that sent me. Everlasting life is great to have, but preceding everlasting life, number one, you have to hear the Word. You have to hear the Lord's words and believe on Him. You can't be saved apart from the gospel. Amen? Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he said, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Not the preacher's preaching is the power of God to salvation, and not anything else, not the message or the fundamentals of the teachings that the preacher's preaching. He said the gospel is the power of God to salvation. That's what it is. So apart from the gospel, you can't be saved. What is the gospel? Somebody tell me the gospel. Quickly, what is it? Go ahead. Amen. Christ died for our sins. He was buried according to the Scriptures, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. If you want to be saved, you believe on that, and you can be saved. If you don't want to be saved, believe on the preacher, because he can really help you out. If you don't want to be saved, believe on your tithe that you put in the offering plate on Sunday mornings. If you don't want to be saved, then join the church. Join the church, because that'll really help you out. But when you die, you'll face God and you'll be cast into hell. Because without Jesus Christ, apart from the gospel and believing on Him, you won't be saved. Period. Period. And Jesus said, "He that heareth my word." In the Gospels alone, 8 different times, Jesus Christ says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Let him hear. We read a verse this morning in Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 11, says, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered. And the last phrase of that verse says, seeing ye are dull of hearing. And we live in a time, boy, when Christians are dull of hearing. They don't hear. They don't hear. They come to church because it's what they've been doing their whole life. And I'm thankful that this sister stood up back here and said, I'm thankful that I've been raised in church, and I've always been in church, and I'm really thankful for my Christian friends and family, and I've been kept away from a lot of stuff. Praise God for that. I was raised in church. Listen, to this day, I'm 42 years old. That's not old, by the way. I'm 42 years old, and I've never drank a drop of alcohol. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never dipped chew. I've never done any of that kind of stuff. I always hung around the right people that never did that. I have never had friends that did that stuff because my parents kept me in church. I was lost, but I was in church. Amen? And I heard the gospel, and I rejected it, and God gave me a second chance when I was 23, and then I got saved. But had it not been for my parents keeping me rooted and grounded in church, then I would have been hanging around all the kids from school, and I'd have got messed up, and I'd have been drinking and cussing and carousing just like they were all doing. Amen. So thank God for that. Thank God for that. But I'm afraid that what happens is people get in the habit of going to church. And this is something you're going to have to face, sister, one of these days. And you other folks that have been raised in church, you're going to have to face one of these days with being dull of hearing. Because it just becomes a habit. We just go to church because, hey, it's Sunday morning, let's get up and go to church. Everybody else is going to be there. And if we're not there, somebody's going to get mad or somebody's going to get their feelings hurt. So let's just go to church. And we're just going to be there. And we're going to sit there in the same pew we always sit in. Don't ever change pews, by the way. You can't do that in a Baptist church. Okay? You're going to be doomed to sit in the same pew, hear the same preacher for the next, well, normally in most Baptist churches, it's 3 years. And then you get another preacher, because that's normally how the thing works out. Thank God you've got a preacher that's been here a lot longer than 3 years. But what happens is, they just sit in the same pew, and they come, they sing the same songs over and over and over and over and over, and they're bored. And they're dull of hearing. They sit back there, and it's just... It's like the preacher gets up and preaches, and his message goes out and bounces off of the shield that's put up in front of somebody's face and comes right back at him. If you've ever got up and stood behind a pulpit and preached to a crowd that's dull of hearing, you know what I'm talking about. For those of you that haven't, it's the worst thing that a preacher could ever feel. Because he gets up and preaches, and he knows that no one's listening. No one's listening. It's just going out, it's being rejected, and coming straight back. There's a spiritual battle that goes on between here and there. And as the preacher begins to preach, there's something going on that's in the air between my words and your ears. There's a spiritual battle going on. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Whenever Daniel bowed his head and prayed, back in the book of Daniel, he prayed. How many days did he pray? Anybody remembers? 21 days. And no answer came to him. You know why? because the Lord sent an angel down there to give him an answer to prayer, and there was a there was a spiritual being that stopped him, and there was a fight going on, and Daniel couldn't get his answer to prayer yet, because there's something happening between here and here and there that keeps you from hearing. And there's a lot of people sitting in church pews that are dull of hearing. They're just dull. They're dull of hearing, and they hear nothing that goes on. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. Have you ever sat in church before, and you can feel the Holy Spirit talking to you? I mean, it's almost like you can hear Him saying something to you, and you know that He's dealing with you. And the preacher doesn't know anything that you're going through, but something he said has pricked you so deep, and it feels so strong, you're sitting there thinking, why can't this person next to me feel it? Well, why can't this person next to me feel it? Well, what's going on here? I mean, why is it only me? Why can I only feel it? I've been in song services where a person here has got their hand raised up saying, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Got one right over here doing the same thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. You got one right over here. Same thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. You got one right over here that gets up and starts running around the church. And then you got about 50 other people sitting there going, why is that? Why is that? You say, well, God deals with people differently. Ha! Chapter and verse for that. I'll tell you what happens. The reason you can have three or four people here and three or four people here and three or four people here that are excited about what God's doing, and the rest of them sit there like a bunch of knots on a log, like a frog in a hailstorm, just batting their eyes at you. You know why? Because they're dull of hearing. Because they've sat there so long, and they've become complacent. Complacent. They're just complacent. In the job that I had before we moved up here, it was a bad thing to be complacent. If you were complacent, then you'd get killed. You'd get shot. You'd get stabbed. You'd get smacked upside the head with a 2x4. You'd get hit with something. Somebody would hurt you if you became complacent. You always had to stay on your guard. You always had to keep your eyes open. You always had to be aware of who was near you, of what was near you, of the nearest exit just in case it gets bad. You always had to keep your eyes open. You were in the military, sister, you know. You have to be aware of what's going on around you. And we got so many people that just come into a church and they just fill the church pew and they just go, and they have no idea what's going on around them. Listen, you can drive just a little ways down the road here and find plenty of churches just like that. Just like that. We were down by one last night, Catholic Church, down in Crown Point. I don't know what the name was. What was it? St. Mary's. Go down there. Saturday nights they have Mass, so that way they don't have to go to church on Sunday mornings. And they go down there and they have Mass on Saturday night, and they all of them sit there like that. And then the priest will get up and he'll do some kind of a chant and cast some kind of a spell on them, and then he'll give it the old hocus pocus thing there, you know. And then he'll say, okay, come down here and I'm going to turn this wafer into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And they gives them that. And those people are in a trance. They're in a trance. They're in a trance. And the priest is the Pied Piper leading the march to hell. And he's playing his little flute and they're all just following him. Oh, just having a good time. They have no idea what's going on. You know why? Because they ain't got ears to hear or dull of hearing. And sometimes it takes a Bible believer to get it from them and say, stop! Stop what you're doing! And they're like, oh, hey, what? What happened there? I've had that happen before. I've been out on the street corner passing out tracts and have somebody come by and say, sir, can I give this to you? And it's literally like he doesn't even know that I'm there. He's just walking. And I said, sir, sir, sir. And then finally I said, sir. And he, huh? Can I give you a gospel tract? Oh, yeah, thank you. It's because they're in a trance. They're dull of hearing. They're dull of hearing, and they have no idea what's going on. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 15. Jesus says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Turn over to chapter 13. Chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 15. Jesus says, Matthew 13, 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Jesus said, first of all, in verse 15, he said, for this people's heart is waxed gross. You know why you have dull ears? You know why you get to the point where you can't hear God anymore, and it just becomes a habit going to church and a habit going to eat with your church friends and a habit coming here and going there and just seem like you're doing the same old thing? You know why? It's not because your ears are not hearing. It's because your heart has waxed gross. It's like, what do you call that? It's hardened. It's got a film around it. And sometimes the Lord has to take your heart and put it in the refiner's fire and heat that thing up just as hot as he can get it to get the silver dross off of it and to clear it up. Amen? The Lord has to search the heart and try the heart and get that thing right so that you can hear again. So that you can hear again. In John 8, where we read earlier, those guys were there and Jesus said, you don't hear God. You don't hear me speaking. And I can just think what they're thinking. Of course we hear you speaking. I mean, we hear you. And sure, they heard him speaking, but they didn't hear him. They didn't hear what he was saying. And too many times you just get in the attitude of just coming in and you're dull of hearing. Like I talked about this morning with the thing that went on last night, you know what was going on? Dull of hearing. Just, okay, let's go. Dull of hearing. God forbid we ever be dull of hearing. Turn to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse number 18. Mark chapter 8, we'll start reading in verse number 17. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? The Lord says, have you hardened your heart? Do you not hear with your ears? You see how it's connected with the heart? Your heart is connected with your heart is connected with your ears and with your eyes as you study Scripture. Your eyes and your ears are always connected with the heart somehow. Because your heart is affected by what you see. Amen? The prophet said, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Right? When the queen of Sheba came to see Solomon, she said, I heard of all the fame, I heard of all the things you had, but until my eyes saw it, I didn't believe it in my heart. The eyes and the ears are connected with the heart. And the problem is, the eyes and the ears are not affecting the heart because the heart's already waxed gross. It's already filmed over. Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28, verse number 27. Acts 28, verse number 27. He says, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, number one, their heart, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse number 8. Romans chapter 11, verse 8. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. God takes the credit for being the one that dulls their ears. Did you see that? According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear. You say, well, God's an unjust God. He shouldn't have done that. Oh, no. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Solomon speaks here. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 24. Here we go. Proverbs 1:24, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel. Anybody know what the word not means? If you sell something for not, what does that mean? Zero. Goose egg. Nothing. When God gives counsel, you count it as nothing. He says, but ye have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Well, Lord, you sure are unjust to do that. No, what happened first? They're the ones that hardened their heart and rejected His words and said, we will not listen. We have no king but Caesar. We will not have this man to rule over us. That's what they said. And that's what they got. That's what they got. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse number 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Here we go. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Anybody think we live in that day right now? Yeah. That's why you got homosexuals and faggots running all around here, and you go up and tell them about Jesus Christ, and they will not hear it. They won't hear it, but they'll sure stand there and demand their rights. But when you try to stand up and exercise your right for free speech, they won't have it because their ears won't hear. And they've turned it off just like a switch. And they've looked at God and said, I will not listen to you. You can read about that in Romans chapter 1. They harden their hearts toward God. They're not thankful for what God has made them or given them. And because of an unthankful heart toward God, God said, I'll give them over to a reprobate mind. And you start studying through the rest of Romans 1 and you'll find out they turn into faggots and queers. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 7, never mind. Ezekiel chapter 3. Now we'll close up here. Ezekiel chapter 3. They're dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. Again, the heart is connected to the ears. Your heart can be affected to what you do with your ears. If you listen to the Lord, if you listen to the Word of God, then you'll be fine. I had a young person ask me, they said, I kind of feel like I need to do something. I heard so-and-so preach about this, and I kind of feel like I need to do this, but I really don't want to. What do you think I should do? I said, well, chances are, if so-and-so preached about this, and you feel like you need to do that, then that's not so-and-so saying that. That's the Holy Spirit of God telling you to do that. And you need to listen to Him. You need to do that no matter how much it hurts, no matter how much you don't want to do it. If you have a sense of urgency that you need to stop doing something, then you better stop. Because that's not the preacher talking. That's God talking through that preacher, telling you, you better not do that. A pretty good rule to go by. If it's doubtful, anybody ever hear this? If it's doubtful, it's dirty. If it's doubtful, it's dirty. If you have a hesitation in your heart and you think, I'm not so sure about that, then you better not do it. Because if you do it anyway, that'll be one more layer of film that goes right over that heart. And it's going to be even harder for the Lord to break that heart and get in there to it. And it's going to hurt when He does. And your heart will wax gross. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse number 10. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. The heart is directly connected with your ears and how you hear. He said, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart. I've heard the pastor mention many times in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says that those people in the church at Thessalonica received with meekness the engrafted word. They received His word. They took it in. That's in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse number 13. They took it in and they listened. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this right here. In order to hear God, in order to hear God speak, there has to be two things happen. There's got to be two things, okay? And these are the only two things that go on in order to hear God speak. Number one, God has got to be speaking. Amen? Everybody, I mean, that's only common sense. In order to hear God speak, God has to be speaking, number one. Number two, you have to be listening. That's the only two. There's nothing else in the mix. In order to hear God speak, in order to hear His words and not be dull of hearing, God has to be speaking, number one. And number two, you have to be hearing. You have to be listening to what He says. Now, let me ask you something. If you're here tonight and you ain't heard God speak in a long time, you think that's God not speaking, or is that you not listening? Is God not speaking to you? Now, I know there was a period of 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament when He didn't speak. God still spoke to people, but it wasn't the written revelation of God. And He didn't speak to the prophets to write down in the book. I know there was 400 silent years there. But God still dealt with people on an individual basis. But there was no canon of Scripture written and penned down within those 400 years. So, how does God speak? Does God speak to you through your feelings? Are we supposed to follow our heart and that will lead us unto the right way? How does God speak? What's that? Ah, brother, that's right. You got it right there in your lap. Is God speaking? He's still speaking, isn't He? This book is still alive today, just like it was 400 years ago, just like it was 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago. This book's alive. His words are alive. And He's speaking through this book. So I dare say that our problem is not that God's not speaking to us anymore. You say, well, God's just not talking to me no more because I think I've done too much. No. No. He's still talking. I wonder if we're listening. I wonder if we're the ones that aren't listening. Maybe that's why we're dull of hearing. Maybe that's why we haven't heard God's voice in a while. Maybe that's why you haven't felt God's presence in a while whenever you kneel down to pray. Maybe you're not listening to Him speak. Because He's still talking. And if you don't open this book, you're not going to hear Him speak. You can search on Facebook for your memes all day long that talk about how wonderful God is and just want to lift my hands to God. And you can read your little scripture verse for the day on Facebook. And you can get on your Twitter account and tweet and say, God's been so good to me, all you want to. If you don't open that book and consistently spend time with your Savior, then you are rejecting Him. And you are refusing Him. And that is a definite characteristic of a lost person or a carnal Christian. And as a Christian, you have no business acting that way. And you know what that causes? It causes dull hearing. And you can't hear. And that's why you sit in the pew and you say, why hasn't God blessed me like that? Why don't I feel the same way they do? Why is it that I can't feel the presence of God when I kneel and pray? How often do you pray? I mean, do you pray once a day? Do you pray three times a day? Do you pray once a week? Do you pray when you sit down to eat your food and that's it? Do you pray on your work, on your way to work when you're in a hurry and, oh God, get me there fast, so you know, so I'm not late because I mean, you know, if I'm late, then I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going to have some points against me, and I'm going to get in trouble. How often do we pray? How often do we spend time listening to what He says and trying to find what He says? Listen, it says, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, He said. So, one of two things is happening. Either God's not speaking, and you can blame it on God. Hey, I'm free country. Amen. Actually, it's not, but you can blame it on God all you want to. You can. Or you can look in the mirror and say, there's the culprit right there. It ain't the fact that God's not speaking, and it ain't the fact that this book has become dead in an archaic old book. It's the fact that that book still speaks, but you don't listen. That's the problem. Father, we thank you again for this day. We are grateful for salvation. I pray you'd help these people. I pray you'd help us all not to be dull of hearing. And Father, I pray you'd prick our hearts, help us to spend time as we and help us to spend time with you in this book and in your precious and perfect word that so many people died for. And I would hate to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and then spend 1,000 years in the millennium watching all these other Christians that have done so much for you while I stand back and have to clean the toilets like Harley did in our play and be ashamed of the way that we were while we lived our life on earth for a brief amount of time, whether it be 30 or 40 or 70 or 80 years. And what's that compared to 1,000 years of being ashamed for what we did? And everybody else looking at us and saying, yeah, that guy, he just served himself. Lord, help us not to be like that. Lord, I pray you'd prick our hearts, and not just prick our hearts. I pray we get up off of our lazy keisters and do something for you. And stop sitting there making an excuse and trying to figure out some way to get out of it. Help us to get up and do something for you, no matter what it may be. I pray you'd help us not to be dull of hearing tonight. We love you again and pray you'd please come tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night. God bless you.